A little bit about fear. I wanted to kind of follow up. Sunday, we talked about overcoming fear from a little different angle. I think this is a time that is a perfect time for us to be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Pastor Kathy and I, we try and talk to people all the time. You think, well, you're pastors, you probably should. So, but that doesn't make it any easier for us. Because let me tell you, when you say, oh, when people say, what do you do? And you say, well, I'm a pastor. Conversation over right there. They have changed. They go into church language at that point. And so, I remember one time getting a haircut, and this girl was having a conversation with her friend whom she was cutting the hair. And she'd had a wild time the night before, evidently. And when I got in there, she said, well, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a minister. Well, she scissor cut me down to a buzz cut. I mean, she was just nervous cutting. But that's what happens. So it's not necessarily easier for us to share about Jesus. But we have to go incognito, not let people know we're pastors. But we were just today saying we want to get better and better at leading people to faith in Christ. That's what we want for you as well. And one of the things that I think keeps people from sharing is we're afraid. We're going to look at Timothy tonight because Timothy was somewhat timid and bashful, had a little bit of fear. And so we're gonna look at that. Sunday I asked y'all how many of y'all ever read Dear Abby, and probably some of y'all younger ones that are watching tonight, you're going, Dear Abby, what's a newspaper? Who's Dear Abby or Ann Landers or anybody like that? Well, back in the day when they printed newspapers, there was a column where people would write in and it asked these ladies their advice. And the number one thing people would write in, and I said this Sunday, is about fear. And as I go around, I see people are afraid. I mean, people are afraid all over the place. People are afraid of losing their health with the COVID virus. People are scared to death. I know people who are scared to death to go out of their house. They're scared to be around people who aren't isolating in their house completely. So they're afraid of their health. People are afraid right now of losing their wealth. Jobs are kind of shaky. People are having to take out of savings, those that have savings, some people have, to pay their bills and stuff like that. And so it's been a tough time. People are afraid of all kinds of things. People are afraid of losing friends. People, this in New Orleans, this is an area where people move in and move out. The people that were born here never leave, okay? And guys, if you married somebody that was born and raised here, you're just stuck, okay? But a lot of people move in and out. And I remember, through my years of ministry, getting to know guys, and we'd get to be friends and go take a church somewhere in another part of the country. And so that you fear losing friends or family members, and so many people have lost family members during this COVID virus. People are even afraid of failure and things like that. Now with all the craziness going on with the rioting and everything, people in the political situations, well, people are afraid to speak up about their beliefs because if they talk about Jesus on a college campus, man, people hunt them down and persecute them. And if you talk about anything other than what the crew is wanting you to hear on Facebook and all that, you're going to be persecuted. Now they'll follow you home. There was a guy just holding a U.S. flag up at one of these riots, and they followed him home. And for about 10 days, they've been harassing him. He's a Marine. I'm not sure you really want to harass him, but that kind of stuff goes on. And so people are afraid, man, what if somebody gets mad at me and stuff like that? And so we're going to talk about overcoming fear, but we're not going to do it from Dear Abby. We're going to do it from the Bible. Before that, I want to look at fear a little bit more. And in 1933, I wasn't even born then, but Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the president at the time, I'm not sure what they're teaching in social studies these days, but Franklin Delano Roosevelt, or FDR for short, said this: we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Now, he said that after the Pearl Harbor bombing, and he is motivating the country. And that sounds good. It's just not right. We have a lot of stuff to be afraid of. And let me tell you, if you're walking along and you hear, that's a rattlesnake, you better be afraid of that. Or a copperhead. We just read where somebody got bit by a copperhead today. And so there's things that you probably should be afraid of. Fear is this productive mechanism that God has given us. He's placed it inside us that either prepares us to fight or to run. And so when you hear that rattle, I know a friend of mine, he heard that, And he jumped high enough to where the dog got the snake before he came back down. But, you know, he had to reconnect with his boots and clothes and all that because it's a scary thing. But that's a mechanism God's put in us. And that's a good kind of fear, actually. Then there's other kinds of fears. And Jesus actually talked about one situation where we should be afraid. He said this. He said, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They can't touch your soul. Let me tell you. He said, don't worry about what people think. Don't worry about what people are saying about you on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. He said, they can't touch your soul. But he said this, fear only God who can destroy both your soul and your body in hell. So we've got to have a healthy fear of God. I think one of the problems today is we've lost what it means to fear God. And I'm not talking about being afraid of God. I'm talking about a fear of God. Matter of fact, Solomon, the smartest and wisest guy to ever live other than Jesus, said the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. So the foundation of wisdom, the foundation that you're going to build your wise decisions on is the fear of the Lord. Now, that's a healthy respect. I'm not talking about being afraid. You're afraid of bullies, but you have a respect, a reverence, a fear for God. And then he says this, knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. So, you know, basically, you've lost your mind if you don't have that fear and respect of God. And if you want to have more wisdom, then you have a fear of the Lord. And if you want to have good judgment, get to know Jesus better, you know, because the more you know him, the better judgment you're going to have. And so we've got to have that healthy respect for the Lord. I kind of liken the fear of the Lord as maybe the fear of electricity an electrician better have. You know, he doesn't have to tremble when he sees those wires, but he knows what's in those wires, and he has a healthy respect for what's in those wires. And that is if he wants to do it very long. And so that's the way the fear of the Lord is. We know who God is, and we want to reverence him. God spoke the world into existence. Now, he's not an evil God, but he could speak me out of existence. You know, so you've got to always kind of know that. So you can love God and you can fear him or respect him and at the same time, and it's not a contradiction. I believe the man who loves the Lord, who fears the Lord, loves him the most. And it's kind of a good fear. We're not going to talk about that fear and getting over that. That's a good fear to have. Now, there are a lot of negative fears. We call them phobias. We like to make it sound better, but it's just fear. And there's hundreds of them. So I found a few I thought I would just say. You know, there's acrophobia, which is a fear of heights. Some of y'all might be like me. I'm not necessarily afraid of heights, just being high, but like I used to work on houses and sometimes we had to walk on the top of the walls and I always fell off. I don't know what it was, but then there's claustrophobia. A lot of people can't be in closed in places, even as big as an elevator. And I know a lot of people can't take a MRI because of claustrophobia. They can't be in something that tight. Or agoraphobia, which is a fear of open places. I think a lot of guys that have spent time in prison have that because they've been cramped up all these years and now they're afraid. Actually, a guy that came and spoke for you at Rivard said the biggest struggle he had was being out in the open. And he had actually been on death row and God delivered him from that. That was a cool story. Then there's pathophobia. That's a fear of disease. A lot of people have that right now. Then there's, a lot of people are afraid of disease right now. It's like crazy afraid. People are, you know, we're wearing masks everywhere, wearing gloves. We're afraid to be in the same room with people. Then there's one that way too many people have, and it's ergophobia, which is a fear of work. there's a lot of people have that fear. And then there's photophobia. That's a fear of light. Not a fear of pictures, a fear of light. And then one that just kind of covers the rest of them is, let me see if I pronounce it right, phobophobia, which is fear of fear. I mean, some people are just going to be afraid of being afraid. And so those fears are not productive fears. I want to give you a name for what those fears are. You can just sum them all up in this, a spirit of fear. They represent a spirit of fear. And when people struggle with a spirit of fear, it's damaging, it's destructive, and it's debilitating in their lives. That's why Paul wrote this to Timothy. Paul said, this is why I remind you to fan the flames, the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. And he's telling, if you've ever taken and had a fire in the fireplace, a couple times a year we get to put logs in our fireplace. I love it. And so when they get down to where it's just glowing embers, I'll fan and they'll come back up. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy to do with the spiritual gifts that God gave him. He said, fan them back into flames. And then he goes here. He said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. You see, what was going on is Timothy was bashful. He was somewhat shy. He had not been sharing his faith like he should be. And Paul said, hey, look, you've got gifts. God has gifted you. You've got talents. You just got to fan those flames and use those gifts. He said, God hadn't given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you power, love, and self-discipline. And a sound mind in different translations, yes. And so then he goes on, he says, so never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And so that tells me that Timothy was probably struggling with preaching the gospel. Now, there might have been a reason. He said, don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. So Paul's in prison, and Timothy's going, I don't know if I want to go where Paul's at, you know. And so that might have made him a little bit sheepish on that. And he said, but with the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. And so Paul's letting him know suffering's coming, but you got to have the strength to do it. And so I want us to look, I want the Lord to deliver us from the spirit of fear tonight. And so let's look at the destructive power of the spirit of fear. Fear is destructive. So you need to know that. Fear causes forgetfulness. Fear causes forgetfulness. And so what do you mean? So Paul said this. Paul said, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. So like I said, Timothy was gifted. He was talented. But he wasn't using his spiritual gifts. Paul's wanting him to flame them. Then to fan them into flames. And so he says this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind or self-discipline here. And so fear had caused Timothy really to forget who he was. He'd caused Timothy to forget what God had done in him. I guess you could say Timothy forgot who God was even. That God is powerful enough to take care of him. But, you know, Timothy had forgotten all that. And fear will make you forget that. Fear will make you turn you into, you'll forget all the times God's come through for you. And you'll be thinking, oh, woe is me. You know, and so when you focus on fear, you forget who you are, you forget who God is, and what God's done in your life. And let me tell you, this time Timothy really didn't have a lot to fear. Paul did. Paul was in prison. And so he said this, so never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me, even though I'm in prison for him. And so Paul goes on to say, now this is why I'm suffering in here in prison. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I trust. You might want to underline that part. Yeah. I know the one in whom I trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until the day of his return. See, Paul hadn't forgotten who God was. Paul hadn't forgotten what God did in his life. And so let me tell you, if you're afraid today, it's because you have forgotten who God is. Who God made you to be, what he's done in your life, and what he's done for you. Fear causes us to forget. Fear also leads to failure. Now, Paul had to tell Timothy, so don't be ashamed to tell others about the Lord. I believe that what he's saying here is Timothy had failed to stand up for the Lord. Timothy had gotten a little shy in presenting the gospel and telling people what God was doing, and he didn't stand up for Paul. Why would he do that? Fear. We have people today who are fear. You know, Paul was in prison. Timothy might have been afraid that the same thing was going to happen to him. And fear of what might happen shut Timothy's mouth. Kind of makes me think about this farmer whose wife needed a surgery that he couldn't afford. So he finally decided he's going to rob a bank. And so he worked up his courage. And finally, after walking around, building up his courage for about an hour or two, he walked in to rob the bank. He gave the teller his gun and pointed the bag that he brought for the money at the teller and said, don't stick with me. This is a mess up. And y'all are laughing with her, I hope. And that's what fear will do to you. It will mess you up. Fear will mess you up. And so I wonder, if you're hearing me right now, I wonder how many people fear is keeping you back from doing something that God wants you to do. Maybe making a full commitment to him. You're afraid. you know, I know people are afraid, man, I'm going to have to give up too much, or God's going to send me to a mission field or something. I'm not committing to him. And so you're just not ready to commit to the Lord. Maybe fear is keeping you from committing to the Lord. Maybe fear is keeping you from stepping into doing something God wants you to do. Maybe leading a group, being willing to be trained. See, God equips the called. He doesn't call the equipped. You're not, just because you're not ready doesn't mean that he's not leading you to do that. We'll train you how to do that. But maybe you know, you're to lead a group or to share your faith with someone. I believe God's calling all of us to be sharing our faith right now. There are people hurting in our society that simply need somebody to love them and tell them about Jesus. And so we need to do that. Now, in the parable of the talents, if you remember that parable, two people invested what Jesus gave them, and he said, well done. And one person didn't do that. And here's what he said. He said, I was afraid I would lose your money, and so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. Look at that. He said, I was afraid. I was afraid to go out and tell somebody what you did in my life. I was afraid to tell somebody that they could have peace through Christ. I was afraid. That's what this guy said. And I wonder, you know, how much buried talent is listening to me right now? I wonder how much talent is listening to me that's buried in. And you've got to get past that fear to be able to share. There are some of you that are going to be, that are evangelists that can share and do a better job than me, but you've just been kind of holding back. Some of you maybe can even sing, you know, and so you hadn't decided to try out. But the main thing that holds you back is that fear of failure. And let me tell you, failure can become a self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, remember Job? Job said, what I always feared has happened. You know? And so, you know, if you fear it enough and you think about it enough, it's going to happen to you. But you don't have to just be a weak person to be fearful. You know, Julius Caesar, I used to study Rome because I believe, unfortunately, the United States is tracking a lot with the Roman Empire, you know, and Rome crumbled from within, and that could happen to us. But Julius Caesar was afraid of thunder. He was afraid of, he'd go hide whenever it would thunder. Peter the Great, another great conqueror, was afraid to walk across a bridge. He could not walk across a bridge. And let me tell you, ordinary people in different areas of their lives, you might be confident in some areas, but in some areas of their life, they will be possessed by fear that will keep them from becoming who God wants them to be. And so I wonder, I believe probably some of you hearing my voice tonight are in that bondage of fear, and it's keeping God from making you into the person that you want. Now, fear will not only hold you like that, fear will cause sickness. Fear will cause sickness. You know, Paul told Timothy, he said, you're sick so often. You know, he said, drink a little wine. I'm not telling you to drink wine tonight, but Paul said, you're sick so often. And so Timothy was sickly. Could have been because he was afraid. I know this, that when you worry and you're anxious all the time, it impacts your health. Several years ago, a physician said this, 90% of the chronic patients I see today, no matter what the symptoms are, have one cause, fear, anxiety. And so worry and fear can cause all kinds of ailments. Worry, somebody said, it's kind of like sand in your engine, but faith is like oil in your engine. We need to get the sand out of our engines, put some oil in there, and build our faith up. So let's look, you know, not just at the destructive power of fear, but let's look at the delivering power of the spirit of faith. Because you see, God, it says, Paul wrote Timothy, God hadn't given us that spirit of fear and timidity, but he's given us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline or sound mind. So let's look at power. God's given us power. Do you know he's given you power? I mean, you know, he just said that to Timothy, but look at what Jesus said. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. Stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with what?
Power.
Power from heaven. He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming and giving us power in our lives. And so we're afraid, you know, oftentimes because we don't think we've got the resources or we're equipped. Remember, I told you God equips the called. So he's calling you, he'll equip you. But listen, when you understand that you've got more power in you than whatever it is you're facing. You've got a job situation at work. You've got a family situation in your family. You've got a health situation, COVID or not. Let me tell you, God's giving you power to deal with it. God's, and when you realize that He is more powerful than that, you're gonna really see some great things happen. Matter of fact, Jesus said here, but you belong to, or John did, you belong to God, my dear children. You've already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit that lives in the world. And so that's an awesome, awesome scripture. That's why the psalmist wrote this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? I mean, if the Lord is my light and my salvation, why should I be afraid? If the Lord is my fortress protecting me from danger, why should I tremble? We shouldn't. We shouldn't. Somebody said this, the man who can kneel before God can stand before anyone. Let me tell you, when you kneel before God, you can go stand up in front of anybody. Somebody else said, glimpse at your problems, stare at your God. We need to, where do we need to put our focus? We need to pass a glance at those problems and stare at our Lord. Let me tell you, God's not only given us power, He's given us the spirit of love. Now, you might be going, well, Pastor Robert, how does love help overcome fear? Well, love's a mighty force to deal with fear. So here's a scripture. He said, we need to have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. You know, when you have somebody that loves you perfectly, that means they're not in it for themselves. They're in it for you. Then you don't have to have fear of them. He said, for His love for us, talking about God's love for us, eliminates all dread of what He might do to us. And look, God loves you and I perfectly. And so the perfect love He has for us eliminates any dread. I don't have to be afraid of God because I know He's always going to be godly. He's always going to be holy. He's always going to be loving. He's always going to be forgiving as long as I'm alive. He is going to always work for my good. Look at this next scripture. It says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. When you understand that God loves you perfectly, and because of that, He's always working for your good, you don't have to worry about the troubles that you're facing. You don't have to worry about those because you know God loves you and that He's not going to harm you and He's always going to be working for your good. So, you know, love overcomes fear. And if you don't believe that, you know, I forget where I read it, but I was reading a story. One day there was a dog was getting after a child, and the mama who just stepped right in front of that dog and fought that dog. Why? Because love overcomes fear. There was a story here real recently about a little brother that stepped in front to keep his sister, I think, from getting bitten. Love overcomes fear. And so you got to understand that. God also gives us a sound mind. The New Living says self-control, but a sound mind. And so it's kind of the same. We have a sound mind. We need a sound mind because Satan tries to deceive us all the time. And Zig Ziglar used to say this, and I said this Sunday, but I know we've got more people watching, different people watching tonight. Fear is false evidence appearing real. You see, we look at the situation, we go, oh, woe is me, the virus is winning. No, it's not. See, it's false evidence appearing real. We think, oh, there's no treatments for it. Sure there are. There's more and more treatments all the time. And so, you know, the devil will cause you to be afraid when there's no reason. There's a verse that I've quoted a lot. You know, it says, the wicked run away when no one's chasing them. Now, what that means a lot of times is if you've stolen something, you got a guilty conscience. Or, you know, and you run when nobody's chasing you. And so, but here, if you're fearful all the time, you're always going to be afraid. And, you know, when I was little, I grew up, we had 50 acres of woods around where I grew up. And we'd take the garbage out, you know, out to the front. And, you know, you'd take the garbage out and it'd be dark because you're out in the middle of the country almost. And then you'd go, was that two eyes I saw over there in the woods? And then you're walking back and you feel like something's watching you or following you. Never was. But you fear that fear will make you think that it is. And listen, God gives you and me a sound mind so that we can look at the things we're afraid of in the light of God's love and in the light of God's word. And then we get to choose to focus on the greatness of God. And when we do that, we know God wins, and because God wins, we're going to win. And so Paul said this. He said, that's why I'm suffering here in this prison, but I'm not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I've trust. And Paul was bold because he knew who he believed in. He knew Jesus. It wasn't a religion for Paul. It wasn't even a faith for Paul. It was a relationship, and it needs to be a relationship for you and I. We know who it is that we trust. There's a story about a Japanese soldier at the end of World War II, and as the tide turned and it became evident that the Japanese would lose, this soldier went and hid in a cave, and he lived in that cave for 28 years. He would only come out at night, and he would get whatever he would catch. He didn't know they were making Toyotas in America, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, he lived there, and for 28 years, he was a prisoner of war to his fear. I want you to listen to me, River Church, and anybody else that's listening. The battle is over. The battle is over. The war is over. Jesus won the war. Jesus won. It's finished. Our sins are paid for. We don't have to be afraid anymore, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. It's time for you to come home. It's time for us to come home. Listen, the devil doesn't want you to know that, but it's time for us. It's also time for us to get to work. You know, a lot of people won't commit to the Lord because they're afraid. We don't have to be afraid anymore. I want you to bow your heads right now, because I want to ask you, do you know the one in whom you trust? Do you know the one in whom you trust? If you don't, I want you right now, I want you to pray a prayer. You see, you don't have to do 50 different things. You just got to ask Jesus to come into your life and be your Savior. You do that through a prayer. And there's no magic words. I'm going to give you some words you can pray with me. But Jesus is standing at the door of your heart, and he's knocking. And he wants to come into your life. And let me tell you, he will change your life. He'll change it. I've just heard so many testimonies. I've listened to a testimony today about a guy that when a pastor asked him, do you want to be saved? He said, nope. The guy asked him four or five times, do you want to get saved? Do you want to receive Jesus? Nope. But about 3 years later, when that pastor was preaching, he saw that guy in the back of the church. And he came forward and he shared about all the hurts he'd been going through. And he asked him the same question. Do you want to invite Jesus to be in your life? And he received Christ. And that pastor was saying, you know, I sat while he was inducted in the NFL Hall of Fame, and he shared his testimony on stage to a worldwide audience. You don't ever know who you're talking to, but God changes lives. God changes lives, and he wants to change yours tonight. So close your eyes, bow your head, and pray this with me. Dear God, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Make me your child. Give me the power of your Holy Spirit to live for you. And as best I can, I give you control over my life and make you Lord. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Now, folks, if you prayed that prayer, it's just that simple. I know a lot of people say, what do you mean? Can't be that simple. It is. I prayed that prayer years ago. It changed my life. I could point to you 100 people real quick that have prayed that prayer, and it changed their life. And so I want you to know that. Right, put in the chat box right there that you prayed to receive Christ. One of our staff will see that, and we'll pray for you. We'd love to see you at River Church and be able to pray with you there and give you materials. We've got all kinds of free stuff we give away, materials-wise, at the church to help you grow. We've and stuff. So we would love to see you there.